Language.
Hello, welcome to Collective Language. We have one of my friends here today from Collective Focus. Could you please tell us your name?
Hello, this is Kaya.
Okay, what are your pronouns?
I use she, her pronouns.
And where are you from?
I am from Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh, cool. Were you born there?
I was born in Baltimore and I lived there until I was 18 when I moved to New York.
Oh, wow. So you never move anywhere else besides Baltimore?
No, I've only ever lived here or Baltimore.
Wow, that's actually really cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How you got to New York?
I moved here for college.
Okay.
Right out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
But then I ended up dropping out of that college. So then I was just living here and working. And now I go to a new college here.
Okay. So yeah. I think you mentioned you are about to graduate, right?
Yeah, I graduate this semester.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's so cool. Sweet, for real. Congrats.
Yeah. Thank you.
What are you studying?
I study anthropology.
Anthropology.
Wow. Yeah.
I bet there's a lot we can talk about that.
There's so much.
Yeah.
It covers everything in the world.
Right. Exactly. So how did you end up here at Collective Focus?
So I ended up here because when I was looking for an apartment in this neighborhood, I parked my car right outside, like right in front of Collective Focus.
Oh my God.
And I saw on like a paper sign in the window, it said mutual aid. And during COVID and Black Lives Matter, I had learned about what mutual aid was. And I was like, this totally like aligns with what I'm interested in doing, especially as I was like transitioning out of going to art school and like thinking more about like social issues and stuff like that. So I was like, I want to do mutual aid. And then I came here and I found one. And then like 6 months later is when I actually came to an open house.
I remember the day I did the training, you were doing the training.
Really?
Yeah. Because I remember that because I used to text you, hey, what's the code again?
Oh my God.
Because we learned the code the same day and I forgot about it. And you sent it to me. Yeah.
It's all a blur, honestly.
Yeah, we did the training the same day. The training for closing, I remember.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
Do you do any art?
Yeah, so I used to do painting and drawing and some sculpture stuff.
Oh, right. You did the painting outside of the fridge. Right, yeah. That looks really nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, I hated that they did those tags on top of it.
I think we're going to fix it next weekend.
Oh, yeah, I saw the message. That's really cool. I'm really excited for you guys because it was looking so beautiful. Like,
I know, and it happened so quickly. And I feel like it actually doesn't happen that often.
And it's so funny because it's like what Andrew mentioned. Like, they had the bottom that was completely empty. And they could have tagged there. And then they just tagged where the text
is. It's so like, silly.
Like, bro.
Very rude.
And who's going to read your tag there? Like, come on, man.
I know.
Yeah.
Over the words.
It's rude. I used to tag when I was like in high school, but I would never do that. Like, for real.
That's really rude.
Yeah.
But yeah, the paintings I used to do were more like figurative, like painting people and doing a lot of like self-portrait type stuff that was like about my life and so yeah, I have like a very traditional fine art background, but then I also do some like clothing stuff. So I'll make clothes.
Right,
and sometimes I crochet.
The very famous Kaya pants.
Yes, I make Kaya pants.
Yeah.
So I like to dabble in different things.
This is the ad for your pants. But for real, I love them. I really love them. When I saw them, I was like, you make that? What? It's so cool.
I know.
So how did you learn that?
I've learned how to sew during COVID. My friend got, my friend that was living with me and I split a sewing machine. And then they were really watching a lot of YouTube videos. And I was kind of just like I knew how to sew by hand and I had taken a sewing class in like middle school. But they kind of, like, with YouTube videos, we learned together. And then I just started, like, playing around, making random things. And then, like, last year, my friend knows how to make pants. And she actually showed me how to make pants. And then since then, I've just kind of, like, figured it out. It's a lot of YouTube, honestly. Yeah.
I see. That's a really cool skill. I think like making clothes is so amazing, you know.
It feels like very powerful.
Yeah, right.
I can take a flat piece of fabric and turn it into like clothes that I can wear.
Right.
My
yeah.
body. It's amazing.
My aunt, one of my aunts, my mother's sister is a really amazing sewing, like,
mm-hmm.
and she did a lot of my costumes for like costumes party or Halloween mm-hmm. when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And she's so talented. And you know, back in the day, I didn't think about it. Like, I was a little kid. But now I'm like, bro, that's such an amazing skill. It's like to make clothes. It's like, I actually want to do it.
Yeah.
I want to learn that. Now that I'm this old, I'm like, bro, I really want to sit down and learn that skill because it will be cool to say I make my own pants, you know?
I know. Like, it does feel very empowering.
Yeah, I love that. What would you say, like you mentioned, you paint, you do some clothes. Do you say those are your mediums of art?
Yeah, mostly that. Mm-hmm.
And so you mentioned that you got started with the pen. It was when the COVID started, right?
Yeah.
And what about painting? You've been doing that for...
Yeah. My mom's an art teacher. So okay. I grew up doing art my whole life and she would have art camps at our house. And then I went to an art high school because in middle school, I kind of got more serious about art and I really enjoyed doing it. So then I went to a magnet high school for visual arts. And there I like took it very seriously and then went to an art college as well.
Cool. Cool. Yeah. I love that. Let's talk a little bit about your community involvement. How are you involved in this community?
Yeah. So like, I feel like my role within, like there's like the collective focus community, but then that is also part of our larger community. And I feel like I see myself as someone just trying to bring like as much joy and positivity as possible to this community. And like, I try to set an example for the other people that I'm friends with that also live in this neighborhood of like, you know, not judging anyone that lives here for whatever reason, like because of what they're wearing or if they appear to be like on drugs or homeless or anything, of just being like, don't look at those people and look down at them uh-huh. because really like having the awareness of the like government and economic systems we live under, like it could be any of us at any point.
Yeah.
And I think that's really where like the radical empathy that we have here comes from, is like, we know that we aren't any different from these people. Like it's like, we're put in a situation where we're so vulnerable that like any month you could lose your job and then lose your apartment and then you're homeless, you know? It's like right. anything could happen.
Right.
So
yeah.
I guess I try to just like show what's possible in like what we're doing, and that it can be really fun and exciting, and that nobody should feel like they don't have enough experience or like knowledge to get involved in something like this, because just coming like one day is enough to then get you involved to like and learn so much and like be a part of something bigger.
Right. Yeah, that's how it happened to me. I just came yeah. one day to an open house. It was on a Friday.
Yeah.
And because I remember we had a lot of people interested in media for that open house,
mm-hmm.
they say they were doing another one on Monday for only for media.
Oh, yeah.
So I came for that second one and I was instantly in love with all the things that were mm-hmm. being done here. I was like, okay, I want to be part of this mm-hmm. for sure. Would you say your art is influenced by your community?
Ooh, I don't like really, I mean, I don't do painting anymore mm-hmm. and I do sew like in my free time.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that like the things that I sew and my creativity in that way definitely is like influenced by what I see around me and the people around me. So I think like generally, yes, but I guess it doesn't like that's something that ends up being kind of like internal for me is the art that I'm making. But I don't do it that much anymore.
How did you specific, like, when you make the pants, the calle pants,
mm-hmm.
are those, like, every single model is similar to the, like, are all they similar? You know what I mean? Like, are they a model?
No, there is one type that I have made several times.
Right.
And that is the same type I'll reproduce. Like,
okay.
But I've made a few different types of pants or, like, shorts or something.
I see.
They all end up being different usually. I don't really, like, have a very structured way of making them.
Okay, yeah, that's what I wanted to ask. Like, if you have a specific type, like, you are like, these are the type of pants I make, and,
yeah.
And how you got there, like, why that a specific type of pants?
Well, really, the type of pants that I've made the most of, which are kind of these, like, really big, baggy pants.
Right, that's why
the
I like
pockets,
them. Yeah, that's why I like them.
It's because there's a different brand that I like that was really expensive, and I bought a pair of them. But then they were too big. Like, they're really big. And the smallest size was like I drowned in it because
oh
they're supposed
God.
To be huge.
And
okay. And like, I don't think my legs were really long enough to like make it look like everyone's always like, those pants are big. So, and they were really, they're like these thick cotton, I mean, these thick canvas. So they were also kind of heavy. And I was like, I feel like I could make, like, I like the way these pants look and I like the style, but I want to be able to like wear them and feel more confident in them because they fit me properly.
Right.
So I like kind of just copied them.
I see.
Like I just made them I made them smaller. I made them look more how I wanted them to.
Right.
And I really just make them for myself and for my friends. So I don't think it's really a problem of me like copying this brand or anything.
Yeah.
I've only sold maybe like two pairs of them. So I'm not too concerned about that. But yeah, it was mostly just these pants are too heavy, too big, too thick.
Dude, one thing I love about this you're telling me is that it reminded me to when I used... before I studied audio, mm-hmm. I used to have a band and
mm-hmm.
we used to record music in a studio. And whenever they mix our music and they show it to us, I hated mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not how I wanted to sound. Like,
yeah.
And it was so hard to get to explain to the engineer to tell him what I wanted.
Yeah.
So I learned it. I was like,
exactly,
bro, I'm going to learn this and I'm going to do my own stuff because
yeah.
you don't get me, bro.
No, literally.
And it's expensive to work with a
mm-hmm.
producer. Music is expensive. Like you keep spending by the hour. So it got to a point where I was like, this is not working out. I'm going to study this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care.
It's all you need to, you just like, once you take it in your own hands.
Yeah, right, right,
right.
It's
possible.
Now you can shape it. And it's like, that's the way I see it.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I want to talk a little bit about your family and how you grew up.
So I grew up with two older brothers and with both my parents around. And I lived close to a lot of my family. But I'm not actually like super close with my family. I guess I just have always kind of felt like the odd one out a little bit. So, like, we still see each other a lot and, like, hang out together and I like to see them. But me and my brothers all live in different parts of the U.S. now. So one of them lives in Texas and the other one lives in Florida. And then my parents are still in Baltimore. So, like, whenever... It's funny. Whenever, like, one of us is visiting the other person, we end up usually making it, like, a huge family trip where all of us have to go. Because it's like, this is our opportunity to all be together.
I see.
But...
That's cute, though, that you guys do that. Yeah.
My parents are really laid back. They love music. And they love hanging out with their friends. They're very creative. So, like, people kind of say that my parents are, like, hippies a little bit. But not in, like, a crunchy way where they, like... you only eat like organic natural foods. Like we were eating Pop-Tarts, Lucky Charms, like tater tots all the time, but they were just very chill and they always let me and my brothers really do whatever we wanted, which for me, like, I mean, that got me a very long way because I never felt like ashamed of pursuing art or like afraid of it when a lot of people like definitely felt like they couldn't pursue it because their parents were like, you need to get a real job. And then I decided to drop out of art school. And obviously my parents weren't like super happy about that because I was dropping out of college, but they still just like had a lot of faith in me and trusted me to like make the right decisions for myself. And it ended up getting me to a much better place where now I like really love what I'm studying and I have like, I feel like I have so many more possibilities with it. So they definitely just like trusted us a lot and they let us like grow up on our own. And yeah, I really like appreciate the way that my parents were. Yeah.
That's really cool. I think like I was, it kind of made me feel a little bit how my parents are with me too. Like I feel at this point they trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I was in college, when I started college, my dad didn't have much faith what I was, because I wanted to study psychology.
Oh, uh-huh.
And he didn't like that much. And then yeah. I switched to philosophy. And he was like, bro, what are you doing? But then when I did music, he kind of got like, okay, if you, like at that point, he was like, you know what? Just do whatever you want to do.
You obviously care about
right.
making the right choice.
And I like that. At that point, he was like, I'm going to support you no matter what.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's what I care about, honestly.
That's definitely how I feel. And like, that's so funny because when I dropped out of art school and then I was telling people I was like switching to, at the time I wanted to study sociology, people in my life were like, what are you going to do with sociology?
Yeah,
and
I was like, I hate that, bro.
And I was like, well, I just dropped out of art school. So what was I going to do before? I was like, what type of question is that? I'm going to do, at least I'm going to get a job of some sort now. Before I was fucked. Like, what could I have possibly done before?
Yeah.
I was like, you're not, like, I was like, I don't need to know what I'm going to do now. Because at least I'll have a real degree.
Dude, you know, I have a high school homie that she actually ended up pursuing. We both wanted to do philosophy and she actually ended up doing philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a master on it.
Wow.
And she is actually thriving. Like when people said, what are you going to do as a philosopher? Dude, there is shit you can do. Right. Yeah, I actually don't know what she's doing.
But she seems like she's
dude, I always see her traveling and having fun. Wow. And I'm like, bro, you're having a good life.
Yeah.
Like, for real. And I know for a fact that she doesn't come from a wealthy family.
Yeah.
So I know she's working hard for her achievements, you know?
Yeah.
So I think when people put you the thing like, don't follow that because what are you going to do in your life, mm-hmm. you know? I don't think it's about, just do what you want to do.
It's about like your mindset.
Right.
Because that's all you ever really need to do anything is like, you have to care about it and you have to have the right mindset. And you can really end up making like anything happen for the most part.
It is true. You know, for me, like, I have never been wealthy. My family has always been like kind of on like the middle side of a struggling and trying mm-hmm. to survive. So when I moved here, it was very hard. Like I sold my car, I sold all my belongings to mm-hmm. pay for college.
Yeah.
And I also got like, how's it called when they pay for you? Tuition?
No, a scholarship.
It mm-hmm. was really good. Like they pay a lot of money for me.
Yeah.
But it was still so much money. Like college here is so expensive.
Yeah.
Especially our college is so mm-hmm. right, but it's like I kept thinking like I really want to graduate. I want to make this happen, and somehow it happened.
Yeah,
it's like I don't even know if like if there was a universe or the God or mm-hmm. destiny, but dude, there was a point in my life where I ran out of money and I didn't have literally money to pay the next 3 months that mm-hmm. I needed to finish, and it was my graduation after that, and I was like, bro, what am I going to do? And they told me, like, I begged them so hard. Like, bro, please, I don't have money.
Yeah.
And they say, there's nothing we can do about it. And they told me, that was like a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, you have to leave by Monday. You have to leave the United States. Like, you're out of here. I was like, and I was walking home so depressed.
Yeah.
And the craziest thing happened. I was, you know, I had the issue on my leg.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always kind of limping when I walk. So this car passed by and it's like those little golf cars.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of those in my college because it's so big. So they mm-hmm. move around in those. And they offered me a lift. They're like, hey, do you want a lift?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, sure, I'm going to the other end. And they're like, we're going there. We'll drop you there. I was mm-hmm. like, okay, thank you. And I didn't notice at first. I got in the car and then I see the guy and I instantly recognize him. He's like a celebrity there. He was saying hi to everybody. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm sitting next to him. And I was like, I'm going to do it. And I told him, his name is Gary Jones. He's mm-hmm. literally the founder and director of the college. And I was like, he's such a big celebrity there.
That's
for real.
Crazy.
Yeah. And I told him my story.
Uh-huh.
I was like, bro, I come from Venezuela. I don't have money right now.
Yeah.
They told me I cannot graduate. I'm only 3 months away from graduation.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, listen, this is my email. Send me an email when you get home and I got you. And I sent him an email and his secretary replied to me saying like, yeah, I'm going to contact the financial department. And mm-hmm. I said like, oh, that's what I've been doing. They are going to say no. He said, relax, this is the director.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little skeptical. Dude, 2 days later, my whole debt was gone. Like, it disappeared. And that's,
I just got chills.
Yeah, yeah. That's when I understood, like, okay, I have to graduate. This is like, I don't know. When you said, like, if you put your mind into it, it made me think that people sometimes don't have the money or don't have the tools.
Yeah.
And that I've been there, but then I was so focused that I wanted to happen that somehow it happened.
Yeah. That's like, yeah, obviously. Me saying like, oh, you just have to have the right mindset, blah, blah, blah. And like, that can't just get you everywhere, clearly, because you like, you know, if you're broke, then what are you going to do? But
right.
I think there is a certain aspect of like, if
mentality,
you believe yeah. that you like deserve what you want, right. then like, you will be able to find a way to make it happen.
Yeah.
But obviously, I'm not like, pick yourself up by your bootstraps, because I don't believe in any of that shit. But
yeah.
really just like making it work. Like, I mean, when I dropped out of my first school, I was just, like, living in New York. I had a job doing something that I liked. And then I, like, worked there for another year. And I was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to go back to college. Like, I was thinking about applying to a new school. And I was like, it's so expensive. I don't know if I'll get in. Like, I mean, one of the reasons I dropped out was because I was like, yeah, I guess I could keep going just because. But, like, I'm paying money for this. Like, I'm not going to keep doing this and paying for this if I don't feel 100%.
Right. That's a good choice. And yeah.
So then I was just like working, and then I got another job, and I was just doing all these jobs that I didn't really care about, but like I was getting by and it was fine. And then I go to CUNY now, which I'm now a New York State resident. So CUNY is really affordable, like even without any tuition or financial.
I have heard that.
Yeah. Like yeah. financial aid. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, if I want to like make this happen, like I'm going to go to CUNY and I'm going to like get my degree. I'm going to learn. I'm going to go to school. Like, I know that this isn't like the optimal college experience, but with where I'm at right now, like if I want my future to like, if I don't want to be in debt and have like so much stress about like getting a high paying job so I can pay my debt, so I can do this, so I can do that. I was like, I'm just going to do this and I'm going to take it one step at a time. And it ended up being a great decision. And I think it worked out really well for me. But yeah, I guess I also just like didn't put too much pressure on myself to like be some like, I don't know, like some Ivy League student where I'm like going to some really prestigious school. Because I think I used to really care about that. And then I was like, no, I'm just going to get my education and I'm going to do it how I can.
I feel that's a big thing that's gets pushed into American culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100% is like yeah. everything has to be prestigious or you may as well not do it.
Yeah. I have done, I have worked in gigs and I forgot the name of the college right now, but it's a very expensive college. Mm-hmm. And I actually didn't know when I told Andrea I was going to work there for a few gigs. It's like, dude, that place is crazy. And then she told me all these stories about Ivy Leagues and all that. And I was a little lost on that.
Yeah.
And I got to middle that side, and when I went there I was like, oh, this is like the college you see in the American movies.
Yeah, it's like, so I mean, it's so elitist and like,
right,
that's something that I don't like about like Baltimore and the people I grew up with there, is it's all very elitist. It's all about like being on top, being the best. It's so judgmental. And it was just like, I don't talk to anyone from Baltimore really anymore, except like a few of my friends from high school. And I went to high school with really great people, but like the people from my actual town, it was very much like judging people because they didn't go to a private school or because they like got their certain score on their SAT. And there's like all this stuff. And I was like, this is so stupid. And a lot of the people that like I was probably on the like less, like the poorer end of the people that me and my brothers hung out with. Like, we weren't poor. Like, we were definitely middle class. But, like, a lot of our friends were, for the most part, wealthier than us. And then, especially, one of my brothers went to a private school and all of his friends were super rich. Like, they were the richest people in Maryland. And my brother went there because he got a scholarship. So he was like, everyone would come to our house to like fuck up the basement and like throw like party down there because they couldn't go to anyone else's houses because they had all these like really fancy mansions. So it was like really, it didn't feel good to be a part of that like culture of always judging everyone for what they're doing.
That reminded me being in college was like I mentioned, my college was really expensive.
Yeah.
And there are so many international students, even from Latin America, but they're very wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I was there struggling. And I could tell that there were a few other people like me that was there and they weren't super wealthy. So it was like for example, every week we had like this international community that they would do events every week. And it was always like going to the movies, going to the bowling. And I was like, bro. Yeah. How did you get money to do this activity? It's like I'm struggling to buy food and pay rent. Like, what the hell? And I felt really out of place.
Yeah.
A lot, like, surrounded by people who was really wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I would say, like, I really found a lot of people there that there were Americans and they were there because they went to the army.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, they get to go to any school.
Yeah.
And they only went to the army to go to school.
Yeah, that's what my roommate did.
Yeah, and those people were wonderful. Like, mm-hmm. I really had a good time with that kind of people because they weren't, I don't know, I feel always related to people that I feel has been through struggles. It's like a classic, I don't know. And I also met a few wealthy people and I really never could completely trust them.
Yeah.
I had this friend that he was my same age. We were like 24, 25 years old. And I asked him one day, because for me, I never been in another country besides the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, like, have you been to another country? And he said, like, yeah, I have visited 45 countries. And he was not kidding. He was like, and I was like that exactly, like your face.
That's
exactly.
Crazy.
Like, bro, we are 24. How are you? And he lived in Australia, New York, and now he was living there in Orlando.
Wow.
And England too, I think. Yeah, he's been, I was like, bro, how's that even possible? And he's from Brazil. So like,
oh, wow.
How'd you do that? I was so confused and I could never really fully trust him.
No.
I just felt weird.
That's an interesting thing about your school having a lot of international students is that like, colleges brag a lot about having a ton of international students, but actually, like, in the U.S., there's, like federal student aid that you apply to. And if you're, like, a U.S. citizen, you can get financial aid from the government. And if you're an international student, you can't get that. So schools really want a lot of international students because they pay full tuition and they pay a lot of money.
Yeah.
Unless they get, like, a scholarship, which would be different from financial aid because, like, for the financial aid, it's...
Right.
Yeah. So it's funny because schools will be like, so many of our students are international. And we're like, you're just doing that because you're greedy and you're a business and you want as much money as possible.
And for real, the scholarships, the way I see it is like the scholarships are really easy to get and they really don't cover that much.
Yeah. They end up being really small.
Right.
And
they'll
have a few huge ones that you have to be like, a crazy mathematician or do some insane thing in high school to get that. And
yeah.
It's like, who is doing that?
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you still have to pay a lot of money. It's a whole thing, man. I have regrets with it, but, you know, it is what it is. And I feel grateful for all that I learned and now that I get to apply it and stuff like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes me happy. I want to talk a little bit about wellness. Mm-hmm. Let's start first talking about community. Do you feel this community support wellness?
Like collective focus?
Yeah, or like the community around collective focus too. Like Brooklyn, around this area.
So I think collective focus definitely supports wellness. I think like there's an interesting thing happening, especially with like I live in Bushwick and it's obviously very gentrified and still becoming increasingly gentrified every year. And like, those people are definitely like into the commodification of wellness where it's like, oh, like, yeah, I go to therapy and I go to yoga and I do all of these things that it's like, you have to do those things because you work a corporate job that like makes you hate your life. And then you have to rely so much on all of these like wellness activities that you have to pay for in order to like maintain, or it's like, oh, like my self-care routine, I'm going to go get a coffee, I'm going to do this. And it's like all about like spending money on things to take care of yourself when I don't think like that's actually how to like maintain wellness. So that's what I see as like happening with promoting wellness around me. I guess I don't really know like in the groups besides those people that maybe have like are like my friends who are all people mostly who've like moved to Bushwick. But I don't really like, I don't know. I don't honestly think about wellness that much.
Yeah. One thing you were saying just now, it really made me think, because I have a lot of friends that like they are way more wealthy than me, right? So mm-hmm. when I talk to them about my struggles and some things, they often suggest things. And we always try to, like, I'm not judging them or anything, but it's like, they always tell me how they do all those things you were saying. Like,
yeah.
I do acupuncture, I do this, mm-hmm. I go twice a week. I cannot stop doing this or my life is going to go like bad or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, bro, how do you afford doing all that?
Yeah.
It's like, it's such a commodity. And then it also made me think like, I don't know. It's for me, I did acupuncture once in my life
mm-hmm.
and it was so expensive.
Yeah.
Like, but to be honest, it was so amazing. I fall asleep.
Really?
It was so...
Oh, I've never done that.
It's really good. If you have never done it, you should do it.
Really?
At least, yeah, yeah. There is this lady, I can't remember right now. It's called like Blue something. And it's really mm-hmm. close. It's around here. And it was so good because she talked to me. We did like a breathing exercise. She asked mm-hmm. me personal questions. It was very deep.
Yeah.
And then after all that, she took me into the room
uh-huh.
and then she started putting the needles and stuff.
Wow.
And it was so relaxing that I fall asleep, and she had to wake me up at one point.
Wow.
Like, hey, we're done. And I was like, that was amazing. And I wouldn't call it like a regular sleep, like when you sleep at your bed.
Mm-hmm.
It was way different.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know how to, it was like amazing. It was amazing. It was amazing.
That's, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never done like any, I've never like really paid for any sort of wellness things. And I really like, for me, I feel like wellness, like when I think of me maintaining like my well-being, I think a lot about exercise because I know exercise makes me feel really good.
Yeah.
And especially like I have like ADD and exercising helps me focus a lot because then like I get out a lot of energy then, and I feel like it really like balances me. And then when I'm not doing things like that, I feel like my body and my mind aren't like in sync. But around here, like to do exercise, like, okay, I could go on a run on these streets that are like horrible to run on,
yeah.
or I could like pay like so much, hundreds of dollars a month for like some sort of membership somewhere, or like $30 per class for something. And it's like, I can't do that. I can't afford that.
Right.
So like, I feel like I end up not actually taking care of myself in the way that I would like to. And that I know I like respond well to, because here it's so expensive.
Yeah.
Like I'll ride my bike to work and I'll like ride it to my friends' houses and stuff. But that's like ends up being my only form of exercise. And I know that like if I was doing more, I would probably feel a lot better. It's like very good for my mental health.
So would you say that's your exercise, doing the biking around?
Yeah, that's like my only form. And then I recently kind of got into going rock climbing, like bouldering in
really?
One of those gyms. Yeah.
Wow.
But it's so expensive. So I haven't gotten a membership because
right.
basically what I did is I got a free trial for ClassPass.
Uh-huh.
And then through that, I did a class at this bouldering gym, and then you get like a 10-day free trial of
wow.
a membership after that. So I was able to go a bunch and not have to pay anything.
Right. Did you like it?
Yeah, it's really fun. But now the membership is like $120 a month.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't afford that.
I have a friend that this is like, he did rock climbing, but in Venezuela, it's way cheaper
mm-hmm.
and there is many low-cost communities that do
yeah.
it. It's actually a really cool community because I kind of known all of it through his experience. Because mm-hmm. we used to be really best friends. He used to play in my band and stuff. So for him, he said that became his life.
Yeah.
Like rock climbing.
Yeah.
But a few years ago, he broke his leg doing it.
And
it was really
bad.
Is
he climbing outside?
Yeah, he does a lot of climbing outside. He has done a lot of big ones.
That's so scary.
Yeah, yeah. And he said it was the craziest feeling is when you're hanging in the middle of the air with like mm-hmm. a broken leg. It's that's crazy.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah. He's way better now. They told him they can really start climbing again.
Oh, that's
great. And he's been doing it little by little. He's mm-hmm. a little like being more cautious than mm-hmm. before. And now he's focusing more in like just going outside instead of the classic rock climbing.
Yeah. I sprained my ankle rock climbing.
Oh, shoot.
Like a few months ago. Yeah.
Good.
So,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
But I was at a gym.
Yeah.
And it was a very short fall.
That's the thing, too, that to do it is expensive.
Yeah.
And if you get injured, that's...
Then you're fucked.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, I was so lucky that to get to work, like, I have a coworker that lives near me that would drive every day. Mm-hmm. So I could, go to work with her in the car because I couldn't ride my bike with the sprayed ankle. But it was like, if I didn't have that, then getting to work would have been so much harder because I would have, it would have, doubled my commute to work because I would have had to take the train. And it's just, it sucked.
Does your family practice wellness?
Not at all. Oh. I mean, my brothers are very active and I think that's probably, similar to me, their form of wellness and taking care of themselves. Like, they definitely see it more of, a staying active and I guess probably eating relatively well.
Uh-huh.
But they don't do, I don't think either of my brothers do any sort of therapy or yoga or mindfulness or anything like that. I think my mom has a little bit more of an interest in it and she's kind of explored it in the past few years, but she doesn't really do, and my dad definitely does. So, I mean, they have therapy and stuff, but more because they have they have psychiatrists because they need medication.
Right.
Which, so do I.
My family doesn't do anything at all. And they are very, I would say my mom is the closest one to do anything like that because
mm-hmm.
she does, and I know this because I live with her, she does daily dancing.
Really?
She puts music and she dances herself alone.
Oh my God.
She loves it. So
that's wellness for sure.
Right, right. Yeah, that's why I said she's the only one in our group in that in her family that does that. But it's such a I mentioned this in different episodes, but in not just in my family, but in my country, it's a big mm-hmm. stigma to talk about your wellness, especially mine and your mind. Psychologists, psychiatrists, that's
mm-hmm.
no go. Like
really?
Yeah, it's like, if you do it, you're crazy or mm-hmm. You don't need that. That's wasting money.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I see it as crucial as going to the dentist, bro. If you go to the dentist once a year or whatever you do for the dentist, you should do the same for your therapist. I don't know. That's how I think it should be.
Yeah.
Do you have any do you have any healthy eating habits?
Well, I'm vegan.
All right. Yeah.
I've been vegan for 8 years. I don't necessarily consider that being just being vegan, being healthy.
Sorry to interrupt you, but my dad thinks like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause Andrea's vegan. So when I told him, he asked me so she only eats healthy stuff. And
no,
I was bro, that's not veganism.
I know people do that. People assume that a lot when really it's you could have any sort of diet and still be eating unhealthy. I very much think about making sure I'm eating first and foremost. I'm eating enough food is my concern of eating healthy is okay, am I literally even getting enough calories to have energy throughout the day? And then mostly just thinking about the normal things getting enough protein, but I don't really, I try not to think about food as being good or bad, because I think that becomes that contributes a lot to the culture around eating disorders and also like anti-fatness of just like, this food is bad because it'll make you fat or because it has fat in it. Or this food is good because like it has so few calories and you'll stay skinny. When it's like, no, we're eating because we need energy. Yeah. So like what food can I eat to give me energy? Like me being vegan, it actually originally started a lot about health, but more thinking about like long-term health because of how it can prevent like high cholesterol because you're not really eating any cholesterol and like, you know, you're getting a lot of fiber. There's just like stuff like that where you can end up like having, like preventing future health problems. But now, like, I don't really think about that much. It's really just because I love animals now. Like, and I really just wouldn't really want to go back to eating animals. But I just think like I would never judge anyone else for what diet they eat because I think we need to eat first and foremost.
Right.
And we need to eat what we have access to. We should eat what we enjoy.
Yeah.
Like having a positive relationship with food, I think is like the most important thing. And then it's like if somebody cares about what they're eating, then they should care about it. But I'm never going to like tell someone like you need to be considering more like what you're eating.
I love that. Because I think Andrea kind of have a similar take with that.
Yeah.
And a lot of my close friends from my country, they have a stigma with vegan people because they think veganism, I don't know who people they've been with, but they think of vegans, they say that vegans think they are superior from others. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, it's definitely a stereotype.
Right, vegans. Right. And I don't really like that because I haven't really met vegans or like
I know, me yeah. either.
So I don't understand where they get that from, but either way, I think like for me, for example, I eat meat, of course. Mm-hmm. And I grew up eating meat like my family raised me like that.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was really good when I was growing up because she always had different kind of... She was very nutritious in the food that she did for us, right? So when I left the country, I struggled a lot. I was like, bro, I don't know what I'm doing. Like I had to learn to cook everything. And now I love it. I love cooking so much. And I love making my own meals because then I know how it's going to turn out.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I love the point of view where it's like... I was vegan for like, I would say like 1 or 2 months
mm-hmm.
in the past few years. And then there was a period where I was like fully vegetarian. And right now I'm nothing. Like I just eat whatever. But it's because... accessibility mostly like it is hard to stay vegan for me it is hard to be fully vegetarian too for me because I do it's so cheap to buy meat sometimes it's so cheap to consume some stuff that I can't afford to be you know so it is what it is and if I get a little more wealthy and then I avoid meat a little more like it depends how I do monthly honestly
I also think it actually like I like benefit a lot from me being like a generally small person because I don't have to like to fuel myself properly. I actually don't have to like eat that much food.
Dude, I love that.
No, but I'm like, because like as a vegan, I mean, people do generally think that being vegan is expensive. I definitely spend very little money on food. Like, I eat vegan in a very frugal way. I don't buy like really any of the processed meats or cheeses or anything like that.
I love those actually.
I know, but I don't, but it's expensive. So I don't buy them or like maybe I'll go, like buy it every once in a while or more. I'll just eat it in a restaurant, but like, I don't really make that at home. Like I mostly just cook like pasta and like vegetables and
that's anything. Always good.
And I make
that's
a lot of good. Soup,
yeah.
but like, yeah, I don't need to get like, I don't need to buy a ton of those things for me to like have a fulfilling meal where if I was like my dad's size or something, or even my brother's size, you know, it's like, I'm like, I don't, they couldn't eat off. My boyfriend can't eat off the meals that I eat because I like, he'll eat like every, he'll eat what I can't finish every single time and more.
Yeah.
So I just like, don't, I mean, I don't have the same like energy needs as someone who would have a larger, who's like taller or larger.
I get very surprised whenever I eat with Andrea, because Andrea is, she eats so little compared to me. Dude, I can't eat a whole pizza if I get into it. Like, I am a person, and this has been since I was a little kid. I eat a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I have always eaten a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I get impressed when I see people that eat so little. And you know, lately, because I went through the surgeries, I spent so many months in bed. Mm-hmm. I have gained so much weight, like at least, I would say like 30 pounds or something like that. Mm. It's been a lot. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, I want to lose some so I can fit better on my clothes. But I'm thinking like, I have to eat less and I don't know how, because if I do, I'm hungry.
Right.
So it's like, bro.
I don't believe in restricting any. It's like, no one should be restricting what they eat. Like, eat till you're full and then that's it. And I hate that.
Oh,
like,
my God.
There's a lot of people in my life who are very much like, I need to eat less or I need to blah, blah, blah. And like, I don't like that. And anytime they say stuff like that, I'm like, no, don't restrict what you're eating. Because then also,
yeah,
if you're losing weight through restricting what you're eating, you're going to have to keep restricting yourself for the rest of your life to maintain that. Or you're going to go back to eating a normal, healthy diet and you're going to gain all the weight back. Because like, like everyone's body has like an equilibrium or like a middle ground that it wants to be at. And no matter what you do to fight that, like it'll always try to find its way back to that.
Yeah. You know, there are some days where I have breakfast and then the rest of the day, I don't eat shit until like nighttime, and then Andrea gets really pissed because she's been all day at work or something.
Yeah.
And she's like, bro, why you haven't eaten? Are you crazy? Like, and then I honestly, when that happens, it's either because I'm really locking into a project and I get really lost when I do that.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I always joke around like, I'm just trying to lose weight, man. And then she's like, bro, that's not the way.
Yeah.
That's not the way.
Don't
man.
Do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I get hungry. Like, I can't eat a ton in one meal, but I could eat, like, several meals in a row with a very short amount of time in between, if that makes sense. Like, I get hungry very quickly, but in one sitting, I probably can't eat like that much. But I feel like I eat more throughout the day, like, more frequently throughout the day than most other people. Like, I always need a snack. Like, I need to bring so many snacks with me if I know I'm going to be out all day. Because I don't want to like be buying a bunch of food. So like I go to school, I'll bring so many snacks. Like I get hungry pretty quickly, but I also feel like I fill up quickly. So I don't know what that means.
Yeah, that's very interesting actually to think about. I have this is one thing, because I have a few members in my family, like aunts, and my dad is like that too. That they are overweight, but they always try to do diets and stuff, but they always snacking.
Mm-hmm.
They snack a lot. And I think that's an issue that they can never stop the snacking. So it's hard. It's hard. I get it. I bought some Oreos recently, and I haven't bought Oreos in years.
Yeah.
But I have those cravings for real. Like, I was like, I want some vanilla Oreo because nobody likes, bro.
Do you dip in milk?
Yeah,
that's the best. I do that all the time. But then I recently think I discovered that I'm like allergic to Oreos or something because I don't know if it's an allergy, but I used to eat a ton of Oreos. And then in the past few years, I'll eat Oreos and it makes my stomach hurt so bad. And I don't know what to do about that.
Bro.
Because recently my roommates had a ton of Oreos at home and they always offer me Oreos and I want them so bad, but I know that it's going to hurt my stomach. It's so hard.
Yeah, that sucks. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it does.
For real. I want to ask you about your food access.
Mm-hmm.
And how does it affect you and what you do, what you create, or your life?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'd say food is pretty accessible to me. Like, I live in a neighborhood that has a lot of grocery stores and a lot of like smaller grocery stores, like in between the bigger ones, like little kind of half deli, half grocery store things, which is where I end up getting a lot of my food. Like I go to a grocery store, it's like one block from me and it's honestly really small, but they have like mostly everything you would need at a regular grocery. They have a huge produce section. Like it works pretty well. And they have a student discount. So that's why I go there.
Oh, that's
cool. I get like 10 or 15% off for being a student.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But, and then also like getting food from the hub, like I don't get a ton of food from the hub because I usually just do the rescue on Saturdays now, which is typically just produce. And maybe I'll get like one or two things from that to cook because typically my style is like to go to the grocery store very frequently, but get very few things each time because it's so close to me. And I also like am very mindful of food waste. So I don't like to get like a ton of stuff because then typically it'll go bad before I can make all of it. Cause usually what I'm buying is fruits and vegetables. But yeah, like I'm definitely like have good access to food and I'm lucky.
I feel that what you mentioned about the things going bad, you know, it annoys me because sometimes that's like the smaller portion or size they sell. Because that happens to me sometimes, especially it's been happening a lot with the cilantro. Because, dude, they sell, it's like,
it's huge.
Are you kidding me? Like, how am I going to use so much cilantro, bro?
That literally happens to me every single time I get herbs is I have to buy this huge fucking bunch and then I can never use all of it because like, unless I'm making pesto where you put the whole thing in, but with cilantro, you're not making pesto. So like, it's very hard and I totally understand.
I learned to do this salsa. It's like a cilantro salsa. A friend, a roommate I used to have showed me how to do it. And it's very easy. It's like cilantro, avocado, some oil, salt. It's really good. And it was a good way to do like to have that extra cilantro that you always have and to have a really good sauce because it's really tasty. But I don't sometimes I'm really lazy to make the sauce, honestly, and I just let the cilantro goes bad. It's like, bro. I want to ask you about your spiritual practices. Did you have any beliefs or?
No, honestly, I am not a very spiritual person at all. Like,
were you raised like in any?
So my family is Jewish, but my parents specifically are not religious at all. Like, they're probably the least religious people like in our whole family. Wow. So, or like, I mean, not most of my family isn't that religious, but like I was never bat mitzvah or anything. And I never cared about it. Like I knew from a pretty young age that I didn't believe in any sort of God or anything. I guess I feel like I believe, like I believe a lot more in the values that we have like here at Collective Focus than anything that's like assigned by some religion. So not really.
I see. That's interesting. I feel like we have had all kinds of people in the podcast. People who believe in a God, certain God. People who believe in energy, people who believe in all that. And I always love hearing this, the answer for these questions. I was raised in a really Christian household. I went to a Christian school and that really never sat well with me, like especially growing up and getting very deep into internet and learning a lot of stuff by myself. I was like, I don't know about this. I'm not into this that much. So I would say like I respect my family. Like I never disrespect them when they talk about God or where they send me blessings through God or whatever. I said, thank you. I appreciate the blessings, whatever. But it's not something I'm going to do for real.
I
don't practice that for sure. Let's talk a little bit about your consumption. I want to hear about that because that's actually, I know you consume like really cool things. You founded the book club here. And that was really cool, actually. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, of course.
Because I really had a really fun time reading books and sharing with you. I think one of the things I love the most of the book club, it was the gatherings
and
hearing people out, especially like I realize now that even if you didn't read the book, it's cool to be there. I always read the book, but even if you didn't, it's really cool to be there.
I know,
cool
I like, tried
there.
To get people to come even if they didn't read and usually no one did.
It was
which
a
I don't
really,
know if I would either.
It was a really small book club and I felt like, I understand though, like there's so many things happening in people's life. It's hard to put some hours to come talk about book. But for me, it was always so positive that I'm going to keep coming whenever it keeps happening. I haven't, look, I'm really bad because I haven't read this book that you, the one.
Well, then how about I make that the reason why we haven't had the meeting yet because Johan still hasn't finished.
Oh my God. Dude.
And then it's not on me.
Oh my God.
No, no.
That's
okay.
So funny. Okay.
It's good. You actually need to read it.
I know.
Really good.
Andrea loves that book.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna definitely do it at one point. I think the first one was so easy to read for me because I got the comic book version.
Right. Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And now you have to read the real one.
Yeah, don't worry about that. I feel like this year particularly, I have a hard time reading books.
Mm-hmm.
I have read like 2 or 3 books.
Yeah.
And mostly comic books and manga. So
it's okay.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
But yeah, tell me a little bit more about maybe either what was your favorite stuff or what are you reading right now?
Mm-hmm.
What are you watching? How about social media? You consume any social mm-hmm. media, shows, music, even movies, stuff like that.
So I definitely read a lot. I have to read a lot for school. And right. then I also read in my free time. So I'm actually in the middle of like a few different books right now, which I don't like doing that because I have a very hard time. Like once I move to a different one, I forget about the first one I was reading and I don't end up going back to it. But the 3 different books that I'm reading right now, one is called Debt by David Graeber, and he's an anthropologist who passed away like a few years ago. But he actually was also like, I think, an anarchist and did a ton of organizing for Occupy Wall Street. But he's kind of like an economic political anthropologist and aligns a lot with what my interests are. But his book, Debt, it's called Debt, the First 5,000 Years, kind of like goes through how we got to like capitalism today and the systems that used to exist and some of the myths around those economic systems of like bartering and trading and how like maybe that never really existed, but it was more always based on a system of debt. And then I'm reading a book, I'm pretty much finished it, called Heaven is a Place on Earth. And that is about this woman who's like a writer who is really interested in communes and like intentional living. And it's basically, it's like Searching for an American Utopia, I think is like the subtitle. And she's basically just like her writing about her experiences and interactions with different communes and intentional communities and like ideas of utopia. So she went to a bunch of different communes around the country and like she started kind of have these little like communal living situations with her friends. And it's really cool. And it was like, it's like pretty funny and interesting. And it's all just like from her perspective. It's not super like academic or like research based, but it's like, this is like what her interactions were. And then the third book I'm reading right now, which I just started, but I think I'm pretty far into it, is the new book from Dean Spade, who wrote that Mutual Aid book.
Yeah.
It's actually not released yet, but I DM'd him and asked him for a PDF and he sent it to me.
Oh, wow.
Because it's called Love in a Fucked Up World. And it's about like kind of, there's a subtitle that probably makes it make more sense, but it's like, how to have like relationships within like active or like not, maybe not how to have relationships within active spaces, but like it's kind of just investigating relationships within activism and organizing and within just like the larger world that we're in that's really fucked up. So like how to be aware of like the oppressive systems around us and have intentional relationships in that way, like love relationships, friendships, like romantic ones. And it's really good and really interesting. It's kind of like, it's not, it's like a little bit like a self-help book, but it is really, it's like asks you a lot of questions about like your own relationships and talks about like different ways to be in relationships and the myth of romance and how that contributes to like.
Dude, I want to read this.
It's really good. Maybe they'll send it to us once it's actually published.
Yeah.
But right now I just have a PDF. But it's really good so far. And it's like, really makes you think a lot. And I thought it'd be really interesting to read about in relation to collective focus of like us having friendships, but also sometimes relationships forming and how to bring like our radical politics into relationships, like platonic or romantic.
I really want to read that. Sounds very interesting.
Yeah.
When I read All About Love by mm-hmm. Bell Hooks, I feel like when I read that book, I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
It was so, and it was also like a little, it helped me to understand myself better because I didn't think from the outside that I will love that book.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I first see the premise, I was like, okay, this looks cool,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't think that I was gonna I read it so fast. It was really? So good. Yeah, it was a book that really also made me think so much, dude, about mm-hmm. my life and people around me. And I yeah. was like, this is so good. It's also like a very awakening reading that book.
Yeah.
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 So I feel interested in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know when it's being published?
It's coming out in January.
Oh, it's close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It actually is coming out pretty soon. But yeah. I was like, I want to read this right now. So,
yeah.
But then I guess for other media, I like don't listen to a lot of music actually, but I listen to a lot of podcasts, mm-hmm. A lot like about society and culture type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's this podcast called Maintenance Phase, which I really love, which is about like debunking a lot of the wellness myths that like are like end up having to do with like the commodification of wellness typically and yeah. and anti-fatness. And then I watch a lot of reality TV for the most part.
Wow.
Like game shows and dating shows. I think they're like I took an anthropology of media class last semester, and that helped me realize that it's actually like I don't necessarily have bad taste for liking these shows, but it's actually like as an anthropologist, like I'm drawn to watching reality TV because that is what like anthropologists do.
Yeah. No, that sounds very interesting because Asha was just talking about is it called American Housewives?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't really watch any reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like I used to when I was in like high school or stuff like that, like especially the ones on MTV and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't really do it anymore. But I really think there is that aspect of the human mind on those.
Yeah,
that you really get to like see how people act and like, and especially when they're in front of the camera, I think people can be very different.
Yeah.
Because, for example, I have interacted with many volunteers that they get really shy when they get into the podcast.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's understandable. I get it. Like some people, it's like, it's just they are not as natural in front yeah. of a microphone or in front of a camera.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to see the interactions of reality TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet you're having a good time there.
I enjoy it. It's very entertaining.
Thanks for sharing that. Let's talk about how that affects you. Like, how would you say this media you watch, you consume, affects what you do in your life or you create?
Mm-hmm. It actually has had, like, a huge impact because me, like, starting to listen to podcasts and read books about, like, social sciences and the humanities and stuff like that is actually what really pushed me to drop out of art school and, like, shift my focus because it was like so interesting to me, so much more interesting to me than what I was doing with art. And I was like, I actually can see myself pursuing these things. I want to learn about them. It was just like so exciting to me. So it has had a huge impact and continues to like each time I read something, like I have specific interests within anthropology, but like things that I don't even mean to lead me somewhere within that interest, like will lead me there. And I'll find like one connection and then another connection. And I'm like, feel like I'm always on this path through all of these things that I'm like reading and listening to that get me closer to like what I want to be learning about or yeah. like I want to learn out at all. But so it definitely is very like inspiring to me and influential. I also think sometimes I watch too much reality TV or like I'll like get into a hole and that would be the opposite of inspiring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you say about positive? What would you say about positive and negative aspects
of reality TV?
No, of like media in general.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say I have a pretty like negative I don't have a great relationship with social media. I definitely end up deleting it off my phone every once in a while. I think it can be very distracting. And like with yeah. social media specifically, they are profiting off of like ruining our attention spans, mm-hmm. ruining our like dopamine receptors. Like yep. that's what they want. They want to be able to then control us through social media. I sound like a conspiracy theorist, but really it's
no,
like
yeah,
if they can get you addicted to social media, then they can get you to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And it's all going to be for them making money, for them stealing your data. Like I'm very aware of that, yet I still fall into the trap.
Yeah.
And like, it's really hard because like, if you don't have Instagram on your phone and you're with your friends and everyone decides to go on Instagram, you're sitting there and you're doing nothing. Or like, there's things like that or that make it hard to like, it's like, what else do you do when you have a moment of downtime? And I think we've lost how to like sit with ourselves and enjoy like maybe silence or be mindful and be intentional. Like, yeah, we don't have to do any of those things anymore because we have a constant like thing that keeps us stimulated no matter what. But I mean, I think social media can be fun. I think it can be positive. Like, I think it's cool to connect with other people, to learn about what other people are doing, like, mm-hmm, not just necessarily in their personal lives, but more like with creative projects and like finding inspiration from all over the world that you wouldn't have seen otherwise.
Yeah.
I mean, I love like reading and stuff, and that's only been in the past few years where I've gotten to a place where I love reading and listening to podcasts, and those, I think, are clear, have had a very positive impact on me.
I feel like there's like you said, there's both good and bad, and honestly it could go to extreme ends. Like, the dark side of the internet is horrible.
Yeah.
But also the good side can be very beautiful. Like, mm-hmm, it really helps connect people. Like, for me, I connect with my family that I haven't seen in like almost 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like it's both sides of it. I completely agree with you about the social media thing. I think especially people with ADHD get really affected by it.
Yeah.
I have close friends that whenever I interact with them, and I know it's a struggle for them to be out of their phones,
mm-hmm,
seeing that whatever is, yeah, there. And that's, I don't even judge them, but I really try to, because I know they also judge themselves. And,
right.
And they talk about it. I like that people is aware when they're aware about this
thing. Yeah. That's what, recently I was talking to my family about this because I have been, my phone's been dying a ton recently. And like, I ideally wanted to get the smaller iPhone, the like iPhone 12 or 13 mini, because I wanted my phone to be less a part of my life. Like, I want it to be smaller. I want to take up less space. I want it to be less like intrusive. And I was asking my brothers specifically, like, do you feel like you're intentional about like the technology and media that you consume? And they like got kind of triggered by the question because they were just like, why wouldn't I be? Blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, no, I'm like asking for real. Like, how do you think, like, do you feel like you're aware when you are like falling into the trap of like always wanting to buy the new thing? Because it's like, my phone, I was able to just get the battery replaced and I didn't have to buy a new phone, which was awesome. Like, I mean, for not having to pay the money for a new phone, but also for like not falling into the overconsumption.
Yeah.
Which is so easy to do now.
Yeah.
So I do think everyone just should, like, the more that people are aware, the more that they will like keep themselves from getting sucked in, which I think is what's important.
But I feel like, for example, now that I think about a few friends that I have, that they are very aware of their problems with the consumption of media. I think if they are aware of that, but they ignore a lot of things in the way that if a new phone came out and they can buy it, they will buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, that's so true. Like, my boyfriend, sorry if he's listening to this, but he knows that he, like, uses his phone so much and he's always on his phone and it's like, but, and he's very aware of it, but he still doesn't really do anything to like stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's a good difference between me and him, is like, I try really hard to stop my consumption of my phone, and like, I'll delete Instagram off my phone for like weeks at a time.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is too much. It's becoming a distraction.
Right.
So there is definitely a difference of like just being aware and then actually caring and like seeing it kind of impede on you doing things that you actually enjoy. Cause no one, it's not like anyone enjoys or gets fulfillment out of like watching videos on their phone all day.
Yeah.
But it's just the constant like stimulation. Right. It's a pacifier, really.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I really tried to focus that kind of energy in my life into video games because that kind of also made me feel a little better.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely go sometimes down the rabbit hole of consuming TikTok or Instagram or whatever social media it is. And I also feel like, I don't know, like in my country, there's a big, I bet there it's like that everywhere, but it's like, there's this idea of, there's an iPhone 16 coming out. Okay, we have to buy that phone when it come out. And it's like, bro, we don't, like mine is an 11.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it because my dad upgraded to like a 12 or 13. So he gave me this one. I hate this phone, honestly, because it's too big. He gave me the big one.
Exactly. I don't want a big phone.
Bro, and I have all my life, I have had small phones.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate, they're so big. Why they're so big?
It's so there's intrusive. And then they made the mini iPhones and they actually discontinued them because people weren't buying them. So my phone is like still relatively small. Like it's not one of the like plus ones, but I still just feel like it's too big. I'm like, I don't need a screen this big. I don't need to like lug this around. And there's this phone called a Jelly Star and it's a really small smartphone. It's like a tiny little like Android phone. And I honestly really want it. And I haven't got it because I still feel like this kind of fear of like letting go of the iPhone of like, what am I going to lose in my life by not having this iPhone? When it's like, yeah, like, okay, I'll have like an Android and people won't want to be in group chats with me. And like, I guess I won't be able to connect it with my computer because it's not like also Apple. And there's like stupid things, but I'm like, that's okay. Like if it means that I'm going to like, my phone isn't going to be so intrusive in my life anymore, like that's a good thing.
Yeah. To be honest with you, like I sometimes, okay, like, I see the like going into the social media stuff and then I have felt the urge to delete my social media.
Yeah.
But at this point, for example, right now in my life, I can. I talked about it recently and I was like, bro, I literally work as a social media in a page.
Yeah.
So how am I? That's like quitting my job. Like, yeah. So it's kind of impossible for me to do that right now. And I've been thinking that, I don't know. It's like when I was younger, there was a period of my time where I lost a phone or it got robbed or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really happy because I didn't have a phone for like a month.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I don't know, like 16, 17. And people hated me. Like my friends hated me. They were like, dude, there's no way to contact you. Like, this is so annoying. My family was also really pissed. And I was putting no effort into getting a phone
because
I kind of loved it. But it was so edgy and stupid. But sometimes I think about that month of my life and not having a phone, it could be great.
Yeah.
It could really be great.
Mm-hmm.
But you were mentioning about the iPhone fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so attached to iPhones.
I know.
Freaking Apple, because I went to college with Apple. Like, I learned a MacBook.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have a MacBook. I have one of the M1 MacBooks. And the connectivity with the iPhone is so fast for me to create content.
I know, it's so easy.
It's so easy that it's like I'm trapped there. I'm like, bro, this is it.
And like, it's like I can get my text on my computer, and if I got a non-iPhone, then I wouldn't be able to text through my computer anymore. And I'm like, so what? I don't need to be texting all that. You know, it's like I don't need to text on my phone and my computer. I can just get text through one thing and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And so, but now I just got my battery replaced, which was free. So it's not like it would really matter if I still got a new phone. But I'm like, maybe I should just wait till this phone like actually fully breaks or dies. And then maybe I'll get it.
I definitely want to change. I want a smaller one because this bothers me.
Yeah.
But also, I don't want to buy a phone from scratch. I feel like that's
like
that consumerism, the whole thing going on with the exploitation of kids.
Exactly. And
that's mind-blowing, honestly. It's like, how these big corporations do that and they just get away with it. And it's like, nobody really cares about it.
It's, I know. And it's so easy to just detach yourself from it.
Right.
And it's obviously not our fault, but it's like, you can choose to not partake in that.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. Like, I get it. These are new phones and whatever, but the difference between an iPhone 11 and an iPhone 16 is not that big.
I know. It's not. It's just that it's like, if your phone breaks, why wouldn't you get the newest phone or whatever? And it's like,
and they always try to trap you. They are like, if you give us your old phone, you can get it. And then you pay $1 a month or something like that. And you're like, bro, what?
They want you to get the new phone so bad. I'm going to try to stick with this one for as long as I can. And I mean, it's been years. So.
Yeah, I only switched because my dad gave me this one.
Yeah.
And I had a SE iPhone, which is like, it's relative to the iPhone 8.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so small. I really love it.
Yeah.
Anyways. Let's go to the $1 million questions.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you create better income for or in struggle?
I definitely create better in comfort. I struggle a lot with discomfort. I'm a very anxious person. So if I don't feel like I have some sort of comfort or like a way to access comfort, I feel like very uneasy and unwell and like super distracted and just anxious. So like I definitely can't create if I'm like feeling that way all the time. Like all I want to do is shut down. But I also do think that there's a sense of like becoming too comfortable where then you don't really feel like, I don't know, I guess getting trapped in routine or getting trapped in ease and then not really challenging yourself. So like there is definitely a bit of a balance, but I wouldn't say like struggle. I could like really create much in that because I'm just like would be too freaking out.
Right. I see. You'll be like in crisis mode trying to
100%. Yeah.
Right. You wouldn't have energy to like create or try. Yeah. Right.
But also, I don't know, like, that's so hard for you to say, actually, because like in high school when I was making my paintings, like, and I was making a ton of paintings, I was painting all the time, I was very uncomfortable. I was like living at home with my parents and I didn't have a great relationship with them at the time, and all my paintings were about like this like hard relationship I had with them. Like it was, the paintings were about my constant struggle of like living at home and not feeling comfortable, and that was like what enabled me to make all those paintings, was that I always had this like pushing me, like I had to get it out and express it. So maybe everything I just said was completely made up then, because really in that situation, that was how I created. And then it was almost like once I got too comfortable, I didn't really have anything to make art about anymore.
I really think this is a trick question.
I think it is too.
Yeah, because I know it really depends on the person first and all.
Mm-hmm.
And it also really depends on the situation you're going through.
Yeah.
Because as an artist, I can say that I have been through struggles that they have pushed me to create art, because otherwise I would have gone crazy.
Yeah.
Like draining, like you were saying, draining your situation towards your paintings, it was probably helping you a lot.
It was.
Yeah. And you were struggling and that helped you create.
Yeah.
But you know yourself and you know that if you're uncomfortable, it's going to be harder for you to create too. Like, so it's like, it really depends.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Couch hopping or versus queen size?
Queen size bed for sure. Yes. I don't like sleeping on anyone's couch. I like having my own space. But I've never had a bed bigger than a twin. I've only ever had a small little bed.
Dude, you're
my
so
whole
little
life.
Too. Like that
but
makes
like,
so much
I'm
sense.
I'm an adult now. I deserve a bigger bed, but I've never had a room big enough now in New York City. Actually, my last apartment, my room was big enough, but I was like, I don't know how much longer I'm gonna have this for, so I'm not getting a bigger bed. And now I'm back to a little room where I like could barely fit anything bigger.
Dude, I share bed with Andrea, and our bed is almost the size of the whole room.
Really?
Like that's how rooms work here in New York. You know, it's like, it's so crazy.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it is. It is horrible. But I love a bed.
Yeah.
Especially like our cat sleep with us. So it's like we have a third one there. And
I'll get there one day to having a big bed.
He's a big boy. So yeah. Low budget versus large budget.
Ooh.
You're gonna make it like really cheap or really expensive? How can you do it?
That is hard. I've definitely never had a large budget.
That's what I always
think. I feel like everyone like, said it's like, bro. Yeah, back when I had a ton of money.
right.
Or like I'm always balling out on all my projects. No, like it's hard to say because I've always made anything work with a low budget, but also that meant that like I've definitely benefited off of like people giving away art supplies. And I used to like, I used to steal a lot of art supplies when I was like in my freshman year of college.
Let's go. That's the way. Woo!
I know. Like I would steal a bunch of paint, or it was just like, yeah. And I think I did it in high school too, actually. But so that was like, I didn't really have to worry about spending my money on that.
Right.
But so I'm just not even answering the question. Low budget. So, I mean, ideally more, ideally enough money to do what I want.
Right.
But I also do believe I can like make it work with whatever I have. Yeah,
that's the same way I think. I think, you know, I have been so used to work with low budget that I can always accommodate to that and create something cool with it.
Yeah.
But if we can get a good budget, let's
get
it. Yeah,
and like for sewing, I actually get almost all my fabric from thrift stores. Like, I'll get like bed sheets and stuff and use that as fabric. And it's usually all as like really cool prints and like vintage stuff that you can never find again. So it'll be like $2 for that's a huge so cool bed sheet. And that's a ton of fabric. Yeah. So that's also like, I think you can end up finding a lot of cool stuff to work with if you have a low budget.
Let's go back to your pants. How much you sell them?
How much are the pants?
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't made them in a really long time.
Okay.
But like, depend. Like, they're kind of expensive. Like, around like $80 to $100 for a pair.
Okay.
Yeah.
And like, okay, it really, how like, because that's a big difference though. Like,
yeah.
$80 to $200. So how did you?
No, $80 to $100.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah. Okay.
Depends on if you want, like, what type of pockets you want and stuff like that.
Right. Do you charge by, like, because the way I work is I charge per hour.
Yeah.
Do you charge per hour? Like, do you consider the amount of time or?
Yeah, that's, like, trying to account for the hours and time, but also the materials. Because usually for the pants, I'll end up buying new fabric for it, depending on what the person wants.
Yeah.
So it kind of comes out to per hour, but it depends if I fuck something up and I have to redo it. Like, I don't like change the price of it, you know? So, yeah, it would probably end up paying me around like $20 per hour or something for those pants.
I see. I do like large budgets. I always say I've never been in one, but you just remind me that I actually was in one once in my life. I wore for Broadway.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And they pay me $500 per day for this production. And I work 4 days. So
Whoa!
I make, in 4 days, I made $2,000. And I was like, bro, this is the freaking best. And the job was so easy.
And you never done it again?
No, I never did it again. Because that was like a really one-time gig. Because I got it through a friend. And then I don't have a contact for that.
Yeah, like you don't even know how to get into that.
Yeah, right. It was TikTok hire. Like this production company and they were hiring freelancers.
Oh, uh-huh.
So my friend told me like, dude, this is happening. Do you want to get in? I was like, yeah, get me in.
Damn, that's nice.
And the job was so easy.
Hope you find another thing like that.
It was so easy, bro. Like I was thinking like, this is how people get rich. Like, this is so easy. Like I could do this for a living. Like I don't care. Like this is so easy for real. And I don't know how to get there again though. Like that's what I mean by large budget. Like TikTok was paying for this production. So it was like a lot of money.
A lot.
I was the guy making the less and I did $2,000 in 4 days. So it's like, bro, like, yeah.
Mm.
But let's see, maybe in the future I get more of those gigs.
Yeah, maybe you will.
We're finishing the episode now.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you, is there anything you would like to say to your younger self?
Ooh. Keep being yourself and maybe care more about school.
Really?
Yeah. When I was in like middle and high school, I didn't care that much. I also was really, I had like terrible issues with my attention. So I could not focus very well in school. And that would just mean I would just be fucking around all the time. And I do wish I tried more in school and I cared more. And like, I think I would have definitely had a better foundation for what I do now. But now I do well in school, so it's okay.
I wouldn't think that. I don't know why I would think that you were really good at school.
I know. I just like was definitely a class clown.
To me, you are like a really smart person.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, that's how I perceive you. So I feel like you will be really good at school. But now that you explain it, I'm like, okay, yeah, that actually makes sense.
Now I do very well in school and I care a lot about it. But sometimes that's just what it takes is like, yeah, now that I went back to school, like older than I should have and like paying for it on my own and stuff like that, it's like, I'm going to care about this a lot more than if I was like just a high schooler, you know, it's like, this isn't a joke anymore.
You know, in my last year of high school, I went through this phase where I stopped caring about it completely, like education in general.
Yeah.
I was being really edgy and I was like, fuck this and I don't care. So I spent most of the year hanging out with my friends.
Yeah.
And I failed. We had 10 classes and I failed 8. I only passed PE and English.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't know how you guys deal with that here. Like in my country, back then, if you failed three classes or more, you had to repeat the year.
Oh.
Yeah. But I was so freaking lucky because they changed the law that year. I'm not kidding. Like they changed the law that year. And they make it so you cannot repeat if you can pass all of them in like a massive test.
And you did?
And I did.
You were smart enough to
Bro.
That rocks.
We paid like a bunch of teachers. I had like a chemistry teacher, a mathematic teacher. I had a lot of classes. And then I was able to pass everything.
Oh, good job.
Yeah, but it was like, I was going through that time of, I didn't believe in the education system. Yeah. I was like, this is just like you study and you pass and that's it. I was really pissed, honestly. Yeah. I think a little bit of that stay with me, but I don't know. I wanted to share that.
Yeah.
There's anybody that you want to shout out?
Ooh. Shout out to my parents for always encouraging me to do whatever I wanted and having faith in me and letting me like pursue things and trusting me moving to New York all by myself. And shout out to all my friends that encourage me. Shout out to Collective Focus for being a space that I have like been able to learn from and grow within for like so much over the past 3 years. Like I could have never been where I am right now without my experience here. And that's I guess one of the things with earlier we were talking about, like if you have the right mindset and you really care, like you can make things happen. And that's like the stuff that I learned here, like all I had to do was show up. And I had to have the time to do that, obviously, but like showing up and caring enough to keep showing up like actually changed my life, really.
Thank you, Kaya.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you for sharing. That was really beautiful. I want to thank all the listeners out there. Thank you for being here. Thank you for always like sharing with us and learning more about the volunteers at Collective Focus. For the next season, we're going to have people outside of Collective Focus. So that's going to be fun.
Oh, it's so exciting.
Yeah, we are going to get people from other mutual aids in Brooklyn.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. That's going to be fun.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, but that's all for today. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Come some later.